I'm Sammy Lucas, and I'm Romantically Challenged. Welcome or welcome back to the podcast. Here's another installment in the uncut extended versions of some of our most popular episodes from Series 1. In this episode, I chat to single guy Jeff Jowett, who doesn't believe in the concept of the one and really challenges the whole concept of relationships as many of us know them. This is a really wonderful listen if you equate being single with being unhappy. Jeff thinks that looking for that one person to complete you is ridiculous. And I do have to agree with him on that point. Look, there are quite a few things we don't agree on. It's a really fascinating chat. Here's Jeff.
G'day guys, my name's Jeff and I'm a male in my early 40s. I enjoy long romantic walks with my dogs, William and Harry, at the park. And sunsets on the beach with my horses. Fireside chats and marshmallows with the dogs again. I work in the weight loss and mindset coaching industry and have previously been engaged but never got married. My ideal partner these days would probably eat hay and drink molasses, have four legs, require rugging in winter, and have expensive taste in shoes every other month. Dating in my 30s was, well, it was accompanied with a lot of booze. It was a very fast life. My ego was rather large, too big to genuinely consider others. It was fast. It was a bit of fun, but it didn't really have a lot of depth. We'll talk about it all today. Giddy up, Jeffro.
Jeff, you're only 42. Are you really fatigued by dating?
I thought you were going to say I look young, Sammy, but we went down a different road there. I was going to get a compliment straight out of the gates.
Look young, but that's not what we're here.
Over 30.
We're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about why at the age of 42, you've pretty much given up on finding love.
Well, I don't know if I've given up. I'm just accepting where I am and really at peace with it. Yeah, I did a lot of dating. I've had a lot of partners over the years. I never actually got married, but I just really enjoy my own company. I really do. Like it's weird because when you say that to people, it's like you've got to explain and defend it. Like you got two heads, but I actually really enjoy being by myself and with animals.
You really do have a love for your animals, don't you? Your dogs and your horses.
Oh no,
what else do you need in life?
I'm open to possibilities and where the road takes me. Mm. Where I've come undone in the past in business and life is I've had a plan, my way. And it had to be my way. That never worked. I guess you could say I'm playful with where I am. If the woman of my dreams walks through the door and it's just absolutely lightning, great. But I'm not holding my breath and it won't make it better or worse. Like right now is good.
You're not actively looking for it. Is that what you're saying?
No, that's right. And really, without sounding too Eckhart Tolle Buddha-esque, I'm not actively looking for anything. I just live my life today because I did that for so long and I used to feel less than. And I really think, and one of the reasons I wanted to come on here is, well, you're a friend and I think you're awesome, but a lot of people out there, they feel less than until they've got a partner. And I don't think you'll never find the right person until you feel whole in yourself. The classic Jerry Maguire quote, "You complete me," would have to be the worst bit of advice in Hollywood history because you're already complete, you're already whole. And if half a person hooks up with half a person, it ain't a hole, it's a shitstorm. And you're going to have a codependency problem down the track. And I think that's a lot of people because they say, "Jeff, you know, I really want to meet someone." And I'm like, "That's great, but you really want to fall in love with yourself first."
But I guess there's a lot of people that would say, "Wait a minute, I am kind of at peace with myself. I feel like I'm a whole person, but I would just like someone to grow old with."
I know. I hear it all the time. And again, I get it. But so many people, they go down that road for the wrong reasons and they grow old. Yeah, and they've got someone else in their bed, but are they really together? And the concept of loneliness, it's an interesting one because I never feel alone because there's people everywhere.
But people you just pass by on the street. Like I'm talking about having a connection. You know what? I actually read this meme on Instagram the other day and I thought of you, Jeff, knowing that we were having this chat today because it said, "The strongest drug that exists for a human is the love of another human being."
Mm.
What do you say to that? The strongest drug as a human being you can possibly experience is the love of someone else.
See, I think where people come undone is they confuse lust with love. See, love is two-way. And I think a lot of people, it's what the other person makes them feel. I have a an unconditional love with my ex-fiance, and we had a wonderful relationship, and her mum texts me every day. Like, it's, I agree, love. Love is all there is.
So why aren't you together?
Because I don't, we both don't choose to go down that road, and I don't see one person for the rest of my life every day as a path for me. And I think I'm just honest, coming home to the one person for the rest of my life every day, I don't see that for myself. And I'm okay with that. And having made mistakes in my life, I promised myself that I would be 100% honest with myself and everyone else moving forward.
Was there a moment in your life when you thought marriage and kids was going to be in your path?
Yeah. Well, as a teenager, because that's what you do, you know, mum and dad.
And that's what Jerry Maguire taught us.
Yeah.
Because you need to find someone to complete you.
Correct. Yeah. And look, but as I got a bit older and balder and uglier and arguably shorter, I started to see more and more people get divorced. And a lot of the others that were married were very unhappy. And it made me sad. And I'm not pigeonholing everybody into that boat. And a lot of my friends that are married because of the kids.
So did you ever have that moment, though, growing up, where you thought marriage and kids and the family unit was kind of in your future?
Yeah, for sure. I guess as a teenager, watching the movies and mum and dad were married for 31 years before mum passed away. And look, I think that had a big impact on me as well. Mum passed suddenly in 2002. But
I'm sorry.
That's all right. But I guess as I got older, I first couple of relationships, typical young boy, I thought, this is the one. And I was devastated when I got brushed and we broke up. I thought the bloody sky was falling and it was all over and I couldn't eat and I was, oh, my Lord. And you just look back and you got to have a little chuckle. And it's early days, yes, but look, reality is, and it is a reality conversation. My longest relationship is 18 months. If you look at historical data, and people probably go, oh, you can't do that, it's romance. Well, I think there's historical data at 42. My longest relationship's 18 months. I get bored.
So, is that what it is, though? Is it that you get bored or that it was just you haven't met the right person?
Met a lot of people, Sammy. Met a lot of people. I'm not going to lie to you. Met a couple. I've done a bit of market research all around the world. Met a couple.
You now.
And
all around the world.
And I'm blessed with the wonderful people I've had in my life and I still have in my life today. And if some of my ex-girlfriends were here and they'd all agree, great bloke, gets bored after a year or two. But with everything, I don't just mean repetition.
Mm-hmm.
I find very hard. And I got diagnosed with ADHD as well a couple of years ago, so there's probably a contributing factor.
Mm-hmm.
Like repetition of the same thing I struggle with. And, that is actually a big factor in this because of that. Seeing a couple of shrinks and working through it, they're like, yeah, well, that's what happens. The other person has to understand that you don't really want to get home every day. How's your day? How's your day? What did you do?
What do you get bored of?
Repetition. That, you know, my day was I got up and I did this and I did that and boring. The same.
Are you bored with the process of the day or bored with the person? Relationships don't have to be boring and repetitive.
Okay, so I will got it, but my thing is, if you're blissfully happily by yourself, why do you need a relationship? Because I think one of the challenges for people, they can't be present. They don't know how to be present. They want to do anything but not be where they are.
Mm.
They're in their head. They live in the past. They live in the future. The only species on earth who do that are adult humans. My dogs don't do it. Lolly doesn't do it. No, animals don't do it. They're present in the moment. We're not. We're analysing the past, analysing the future, depression, anxiety, fear. So we can't sit and be still by ourselves. So I've learnt how to do that. All the noise goes away and I find peace. Now, I love having different people in my life. I'm so fortunate to have so many great friends. Could one day that person? Sure. But it will add to my life. But it's not like it's empty and it needs to be filled. So I'm open to all areas of life. I love people, but turns out I'm an introvert. I know I seem like a bit of a nutter, but I'm an introvert and I recharge by myself. So I do a lot of keynote speaking, motivation, mindset, as you know. So I'm out there speaking all day. I get home, I got no words left. Alan Pease used to talk about this. Blokes have got 10,000, women have got 20, apparently, right? And blokes get home and they've
run out of words.
Yeah, I've run out of words. And I get home, I've done 10,500 and she's got 7,000 to go. And I'm minus 400 and she's got 7,000 to go. How's your date? Good.
It's a recipe for disaster.
What did you do? Same. Well, Betty and I caught up today and we had tea. And what's going on with Steve is, and you're like, I got no words left. So I talk about energy credits. You've got to manage your energy credits. So if I was to enter into a relationship, I've got to have some words left of my 10,000 for and energy for that person. I actually coach this now because the problem is we give the best of us to people we don't even know that well and we get home and a very common, a lot of husbands and wives, they've got nothing left because they've run out of juice during the day. So that's something if I did get into a relationship, I'd make sure I've got energy to put in when I get home. I used to burn myself out each day.
You've put so much thought into this and there's a part of me that thinks, God, I wish more men thought as deeply about it as you because it sounds like you don't want to be in a relationship because you don't want to disappoint someone and you realise you don't have what a relationship needs.
I don't want to hurt people and I've had a real history of that because I go in for with the best of intentions. I've hurt people, not through cheating or anything, but just, you know, it's not for me and it's time to, and they're like, but I thought this was it.
Mm.
And I've done that a bunch of times and I want my thing, and maybe it's a little bit idealistic, but I think life's like a book of chapters and we've got so many chapters in our life and I want people to go out better than they came in with me. They might know me for a day or a week or a month. That's an experience. That's a relationship. I want them going out better than they came in. If I date someone for 3 months, that's awesome. If they go out better than they came in, if we learn off each other and we grow, and that's great. That's what life is. It's experiences. It's not, I met Sally 25 years ago and I've locked that in and we haven't really been that happy, but we made a commitment. That's the worst concept ever. If there ever was a prehistoric dated concept in the history of this earth, that is it.
Marriage. Staying or committing with someone, to one person forever.
No, if it's the right person and you happen to grow together, I think it's very hard. But if you do, great. But if you drift apart and dead set for 10 years, you've barely spoken or, you know, been intimate, probably time to have a conversation.
So maybe the concept of marriage you feel is a bit outdated?
I do for a lot of people. I think it needs to be examined. I think a lot of people feel pressured to go into it. And what I will say without a shadow of a doubt, it is not for everyone. Please, if you're listening to this, and especially a lot of women, because I coach a lot of women, you're enough now. I am enough. I have enough. It's perfect now. That's a mantra. I am enough. I have enough. It's perfect now. Now, when you begin to believe that, you will attract different people into your life. You will attract the right people. Hero, not victim. You bring the right people in if that's what you want.
But see, I feel that, Jeff, and I believe that every day. And it took me a long time to get there because I did grow up with the Jerry Maguire mentality of, I'm looking, and you know, I spent years searching for a husband and a baby daddy. And I now feel 100% that I've moved past that and I'm settled, great friends, great network, great work, all the rest of it. But I would still love someone to grow old with. And I think that's about, I guess when you look at it like that, it's about thinking about the future and a fear of what the future might look like if I'm still alone.
So I get it, super common, but again, it's sort of being in our head, not being present. If I'm present, I'm not really thinking about the future very much. So I'm just really just for today, I just do what I do today and the future takes care of itself.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people that would disagree with you. I reckon there's people that have been married, that have kids, that have financial responsibilities or whatever. They have to think about the future. You and I are both alike in that we've never been married. We don't have, you know, ex-husbands and wives, and we don't have kids.
No, so I might think have it's, a couple in Cuba. Yeah, sure,
really?
No, kidding.
It's easier for us to go through life not worrying about the future because we don't have those kind of dependents. But for some people, I guess they don't have that.
I guess the big thing is that people, and this is the growth journey and the challenge with happiness, like it's an inside job. People think the more money I make, then I'll be happy. But it's not. It's a band-aid at best. It's an inside job and it's more of a heart than a head thing. And until you get really comfortable with you by yourself, you'll never really find that person because the world's a mirror.
So you went through a lot of business and financial success in your 30s and it kind of ruined you? Would you say almost ruined you?
I think so. Well, it ruined me as a person. I'm not proud of who I was. It was ego. It was ego and entitlement. And if I look back on my life and my actions, It's great to be ambitious, as you once said to me. I never forget that. I totally agree. I was ambitious, but there was a big ego as well to boot. And you got to dump the ego. And no one's better than each other. We're all just exactly the same, humans doing their best. And the more we can keep it that way, the better the people we attract into our lives.
So what did your success do to you?
It got me addicted to more. I compared myself, whatever I had. I'd look at someone else. I got a Beamer. They got a Ferrari. My car's shit. That sort of rubbish.
The disease of more.
Disease of
want
more.
Want more, more, more,
more. More, more, more. Yep, I need more. And that flowed into body trim and we had even more success and I had more disease of more. And I really just saw the present moment as a means to an end. I'm doing what I do today to get to there, but there is no there, there's only here. I wasn't playful, I was resentful. So energetically, everything I was doing was out of whack. And the people I attracted into my life were kind of like me because that's what I was. Versus now, I'm pretty bloody happy with where I am. So I get people around me who are the same. And life flows, you know, versus I used to force my way through. Now I kind of just...
Flow.
And whenever I get a bit rattled, I just come back to where I am and I breathe and I look at my little dogs and I'm not sounding too bloody weird, but then the phone rings and they're like, mate, can you come to Hamilton Island and do a speaking gig? And sure, like it just works.
Mm.
But if I stress about outcome, because I coach process, not outcome. So for people, if they do want a relationship, well, stressing about not having one won't fix it. That's an outcome. So if you stay in process, that's working on yourself. You know, growing and finding love for yourself, you'll meet that person, but you've got to stop thinking about meeting that person. Most people are in outcome, and this is a big part of the Jowett method in my life, and everything I teach is process, not outcome, actions, not achievement. So if you want to meet Mr. or Mrs. Right, stop thinking about the destination and the outcome and just work on you and getting happy now, because that will attract the people and you'll do different things and be childlike. Like I ride horses, as you know, just about every day. And people are like, what? You started riding when you were 40. Why? But they can't fathom doing something new at 40.
Why?
Because they're set in their way. Yeah, why? Like they're set in. Why? Like you've never ridden before. Yeah, so I wanted to, so I did. Like you can change your life at any time.
And you know what the bonus with you of spending time with your horses? You don't have to speak to them.
No,
your word
right.
count. You can keep your word count
Look,
down.
Yeah, I can. That's right. So, if I do meet Mrs. Wright, I've got plenty of words.
So you're open to having relationships, just not long term, just not locking something in until you die. What? Is that? Am I right there? Or?
No. Well, let me just say that I think it's just being really honest out of the gates. So, haven't been the best at the long-term relationships. I got great friendships out of it. But if you're looking for someone for the next 10 years, you're probably looking at the wrong bloke because he's got 18 months under his belt at best. Success leaves clues and whatnot, right? So I'm probably not your bloke. But if it goes along swimmingly, cool. Maybe I didn't evolve and grow enough and maybe I am and maybe that'll happen. I don't know.
It's just really challenging the whole notion of people meeting and falling in love and, you know, having a family and creating life so that the human race can continue. Would you say just relationships are not for you then?
No, I wouldn't say that at all. I'm just happy with where I am and I go where the road takes me. So they're not for me or against me, or I'm just really happy with where I am and where I'm going. I meet someone and it progresses, great. If it doesn't, that's great too. But so I guess the big thing for me, I don't see me being single as being alone and lonely at all.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't hold me back. I think the big thing I wanted to get across is you've got to run your own race at your own pace. We've got to stop comparing ourselves. Comparison is the thief of joy. So people that are single are comparing themselves to someone who are married, looking at an Instagram page, getting depressed because they look happy, but the reality is they just had a blue, but they're not even maybe getting on. An old mate over here is depressed because they're single. We've got to stop comparing. The grass isn't greener. If you water your grass, it turns green. But if you look at the grass over the fence, yours dies. Like, that's what I'm trying to get across. Now, could that mean one day I meet? Yeah, I might meet a lady at horse riding and we've got a common interest and amazing. We don't complete each other because we're already complete, but we add to each other's life. I want
people. That's what I want. I want someone who adds to my life and doesn't detract from it.
Mm.
But do you think some people are just not built for monogamy?
Yep. Absolutely. Without a shadow of a doubt.
Are you?
Well, gee whiz. I don't know if the concept of monogamy with someone for the rest of my life, don't know if I can get my head around that. But maybe I haven't met the right one. See? I don't know. But, yeah, truthfully, and again, for me, having made mistakes in business and life, I just can't bullshit myself. I've got to be honest with myself and others. You've got to be authentic. Like, so for me, I always say you're playing to an audience of one, like you'll know. So in golf, if you hit it behind a tree and you kick it out and no one sees, yeah, you'll know.
And I say this sometimes about when people, I see people treating people badly and they get upset about it. I say that person has to look at themselves in the mirror every day. And that person looks at themselves in the mirror and knows that they're a liar or a cheater or have done something terrible.
Yeah. And the thing for me, if in answer to all your questions, if I was to go down that road with that person, that is your best friend. So how can you lie to that person? Mm. You can't. And it happens a lot.
Do you have happily married friends? You ever look at them and go, oh, that's kind of nice.
I've got friends who are married and they're not unhappy. But every single person I know on earth who's married that's over the age of 40 says, mate, it's hard work. Not that it's bad, but you got to work. It requires work, Jeff. And basically, if you don't want kids, then I wouldn't get married because that's really the big thing and you're doing it for them. And I'm not really that keen at this stage on having them. Am I missing out? I don't know. There's plenty of people on earth. So, you know, little Jeffro's running around, who knows?
Okay, so when you talk about process versus outcome, and there's so many people, as you rightly said, that are just so focused on that outcome of finding someone, of having a relationship. But then are they shutting themselves off to the process of having shorter relationships?
Absolutely.
Or experiences?
Because what they've got this, they've got their plan. They've got their plan. And they've got their avatar. They've got this person that they think that they need. What a load of rubbish. Do we really think, again, I'm getting a bit deep here, but we live in an infinite universe, more stars in the sky than grains of sand on all the beaches in the world, but I've got a plan and I've got to stick to it. People just need to relax and calm down. Like, well, I've got to meet a bloke by this and he's got to do this. Relax. Hello. Might be missing out on a few blokes out there because they don't quite fit your avatar that you've got in your head. Maybe the universe has got another plan. I don't know. My plans didn't work. But you, again, the more playful you are with where you are, it works and you meet people.
But sometimes the universe does get in the way. And I say this very personally from my experience with feeling like I needed to have a child and be a mum. Mm. And the universe and biology was not on my side. And I ran out of time. I physically ran out of time. Biology just wasn't there for me. Mm. So I can understand what you're saying, but also take into account that there are a lot of women, and there's men too, because fertility becomes an issue for men. We just don't talk about it very often. But fertility for women really puts you on a timeline. And I had a biological time bomb for quite a few years there that eventually exploded and ran out.
Yeah.
So there is that mentality of I've got to find him and I've only got two more years to do it. Which is, it's not a healthy way to live. And I look back, I wrote about it in my book. I made the most ridiculous decisions.
Yeah.
Because I was just being guided by the wrong thing.
Again, so I get it. And again, it's an outcome thing because, yeah, you want that outcome. But sometimes you've just got to surrender to it. And if it's, you know, it's out of my control. It just is. It just is. We want that for ourselves, and I know it's a very personal thing because it's a child. I get it. I'm not trying to turn it into a commercial outcome here. It's a child. But still, at the end of the day, we can only do what we can only do, and we can only control the controllables. And if we haven't met anyone and we've got to meet a bloke in the next 2 minutes, probably not going to be the bloke, and we're probably going to turn a blind eye to a few defects that we otherwise wouldn't. And before you know it, you've got the biggest wanker in the world and you're like, oh, my God, how did that happen? Well, how did it not happen? How could it not happen? Because it's desperate to get it done to get that.
Well, that's what I did. And eventually I got to the point where I thought, I'm just done with the bloke side of it, so I'll just use a donor.
Yeah.
You know, and got to the point of almost ready to hand over the credit card to buy the sperm, and I had that moment of this is not how I wanted to have a child. So I had to make that decision.
So here's the thing, because I look at a lot of my mates are older. I love older people because they got so much wisdom.
What are you looking at me like that for? I'm not much older than you, buddy.
I'm just trying to engage. I was thinking of people at golf, like men, you know, 80-year-olds. And but I don't know any of them who look back. It all seems to play out how it's meant to. Like we've got this thing that we think needs to be done. And you look back on your life and you're like, it worked out pretty good.
I think a lot of people focus on if I just get that, then I'll be happy.
Yep.
Or if I make that happen, I'll be happy. And I think what you seem to be really focused on is stop worrying about what might or might not happen and enjoy now, which is such a valuable message.
So that's my disease of when. When I pay off the house, when I get the house, when I get the Merc, oh, then I'll feel successful. Oh, let alone the Range Rover. When I've got that Range Rover, I'll be the man. Relax. Your identity is not a car or a house or a business card or when. It's a summitless mountain. So it's like chasing the rainbow. It's pot of gold end of rainbow stuff. And I've found over the last 18 months to 2 years when I stopped doing that and started living and being here now, it just unfolds. Now, sure, have a few goals. Again, process outcome. I say 90% of your time you want to be present in the process. 10%, where am I going? But most people spend 90% of the time, where are they going? And they blatantly disregard where they are. So how can you get the most out of life? Because life is happening now. Like anyone listening to this right now, that's life. The working unit of your life is now.
So why do you think it is that you never feel lonely? Because there are billions of people around the world that do get lonely. What is it in you that never gets to that point?
Well, I think the animals are a big part. I think animals are incredibly healing and they really turn my life around, the dogs and the horses, for sure. And they're a big part of, you know, what I'd like to do into the future. But again, spiritually, like we're all human beings are connected. You know, I've had a lot of fun in my life. It's not like I've been a wallflower and never done anything. So I've hung from the rafters. I've done all the stuff that people sort of would like to do. And that was great, but it didn't fill me up with joy and bliss and all that. So in answer to your question, like we're not really alone because it's hard to explain in a podcast like this, but spiritually everyone's connected. This is just a physical thing. People miss the physical thing, but the physical thing, there's more to it. The more of a spiritual path you go down, there's a lot more to us than the meat sack we're in. So spiritually, we're all connected.
What do you mean the meat sack we're in?
Well, the body.
Never heard of the body referred to as a meat sack
before.
We're
not just, we've got a soul and a spirit and we're energy. We're energy. So energetically, we're connected. So I look at the world very differently now. I don't just look at human beings as skin and this. Like we're energy.
Because I feel like we are alike in a lot of ways and we think the same in a lot of ways as far as, you know, we're both single, never married, no kids. We both love our animals and get a lot of love and companionship from our animals. Whereas I think the difference is in listening to what you say, I still would love that person at the end of the day to share my day with and have that one person I know I can call. You know, I call it, and I've talked about it before, my first call. When something amazing happens in my life or when something horrible happens in my life, it's that first number. I would like to have a partner that is that first call.
Now, absolutely. I get it. I understand that. And I don't know, I don't think it's a male-female thing either, because after my mum passed away, I know my dad was really, he got remarried. Wonderful woman, Sandra. She was friends with mum. That's how they met. They've been married for like 15 years. It's awesome. But dad, he's like, he really wants someone else in his, he needs that person. Because we've talked about it. I'm like, dad, you get bored like I do with everything. He was like president of Lawn Bowls, fly fishing, model aeroplane. Like he was in about 10 different clubs. He was the treasurer of all of them for a year.
He's filling his life with all of these things, you're doing as well.
But yeah, but he's got his wife and he loves coming home and having a glass of wine and talking about the day. He loves it.
And you just have no interest in that?
I don't have a huge interest in it.
Okay, I have to ask you, you're an active, healthy 42-year-old bloke, sex.
Yep.
How does that factor into the life of a man who just couldn't be bothered.
Sure.
Whether there's a relationship or not.
There's nothing wrong with short-term relationships. You don't, again, it doesn't have to be an all-encompassing, oh, well, I can't be with this person for the next 20 years, so I won't progress. If we're enjoying today, we're enjoying today. I just don't make a mountain out of a molehill. I guess that really, to be honest.
So if you want sex, you can get it.
Yeah, but not in a using people way at all. We've got to understand what a relationship is. And I've had some wonderful relationships with people for a month or 2 months.
Right,
they don't have to be 2 years or 20 years or all of my exes I'm friends with. Like, you don't have to break up and never speak to them again and hate them. You're doing it wrong.
Are they all friends with benefits?
Well, they weren't friends with benefits, my exes. That's another topic for another time, Sammy. That one, of course. Huh. But, yeah, my proper ex-partners, yeah, we're all friends.
So do you think people would be happier if they just focused on and enjoyed the benefits of a short-term relationship rather than focusing on what it might become and it turning into a lifetime together?
Absolutely. And again, because who knows? Like, you got to be where you are, be here now. And who knows what might or might not unfold. But what we're trying to do is put a square peg into a round hole and get people to be what that we want them to be 5 years from now. And some of them might be if you just detach from what you think you need in 5 years from now. And you just be more playful and present with where you are. And you don't sweat the small stuff. And you enjoy that person now.
Okay, so what about when you're older and you're not as busy, you're not doing all your public speaking gigs, flying off here, there and everywhere, working really hard, you're maybe too old to be riding horses and running around with the dogs. Do you worry about getting lonely then when you're a lot older?
Look, I really don't, Sammy. I really don't. And again, I think it comes back to, you know, I live now. I'm here today. I'm present now. And I really think it all just plays out from there. And you know, in addition to that, the definition of loneliness, I'll tell you what mine is. Someone in a relationship and they know that the other person's checked out. That is lonely. I know so many people and a lot of women who know that their husband has checked out emotionally, physically, but they're still there. That's lonely. That is scary and lonely. That's my definition, and it's very, very common. So I don't get together with someone because of that, but I'm just sort of putting a different lens on what lonely is, and that is a scary place to be. And they don't have the strength to leave, and they stay with a person that really checked out years ago. So for me, you know, at 80 or 90 or however long I get on this little planet we're on, for me, it doesn't really cross my mind because I'm here today and grateful for that, and we'll see where the road takes me. Now, this took me a long time to get to this. I was an over-planner, over-thinker, over-analyzer, and it nearly drove me to the brink. So I've had to learn how to be present and calm and still and be grateful for where I am. And we don't get taught this stuff, and that's why most people suffer. They suffer because they're attached to an outcome. So my advice is not to attach to the outcome. And you'll probably stumble across an amazing outcome.
I feel like we've covered so much ground. I feel like it's almost been like a therapy session for me. I don't know that I agree with every single thing that you say,
of
but
course.
I certainly appreciate you being so open and honest. And you've certainly given us all a lot to think about. So
it's lovely to be on. And just for everybody listening, if you could embrace the concept that you are enough by yourself. Now, that doesn't mean you have to stay by yourself, but no one else is going to make you better. No one else is going to make you whole. If you can actually believe that in your heart that you're enough and that you're worthy of love, you got to believe that you are worthy of love. A lot of people struggle with that.
I know.
I say write a forgiveness letter to yourself. Forgive yourself. And that is so important. Write a forgiveness letter and forgive yourself and all the people who've hurt you in the past. Write one and burn them both. Maybe cry freedom like Braveheart or something. I don't know. But you've got to forgive yourself and move on. And feel that you're deserving of love. Otherwise, you're going to meet someone and you're going to let them treat you shit because you think you deserve that. You don't. You deserve to meet the best person. You deserve the very best that life has got to offer. When you believe that and feel that, you'll get that.
Wow. Well, Jeff, I always finish by saying I hope that you find what you're looking for, but I have no doubt you already have.
Thanks,
you're
Sammy.
There.
I'm happy with my life.
Thank you.
This podcast is produced by me, Sammy Lucas. Audio director is the delightful Robbie Wood. You can find out more about me, this podcast, or my book at my website, sammylucas.com.